Good evening, everyone. We're going to make a wee start just to our meeting tonight. Anyone got a favourite hymn you'd like to sing? Just shout out the number, please. Six oh four in your hymn book, favourite hymn, 604. 604, we're going home to glory soon, to see the city bright, to walk the golden streets of heaven, and bask on God's own light. We'll sing the first and the third verse. We'll just keep our seats while we sing. We'll have a favourite hymn or two tonight. 604, verses 1 and 3, remaining seated while we sing. Favourite? 342. 342 in your hymn book. 342. 342. The King of Love, my shepherd is, whose goodness faileth never, I nothing lack, if I am his, and he is mine forever. We'll sing the first and the verse number 3. Verses 1 and 3. 342. Remaining seated, verses 1 and 3. Favourite?
277.
277 in your hymn book. 277. The 277 on the page 288. It's a great old gospel hymn. On the golden streets of heaven, all men hope to walk someday, yet so many are not willing to accept the living way. We'll sing the first and we'll sing the third or the last verse. Verses 1 and 4, along with the chorus, 277. Remaining seated while we sing. 277, verses 1 and 4.
On the holy streets of heaven, all men long to walk someday.
turn to hymn number 600. We're opening hymn tonight, hymn number 600, on the page 414. As the shadows of the night round are falling, I'm thinking of that day by and by when the trumpet of the Lord shall be calling and the daybreak over the hills. Hymn number 600, on the page 418. You're singing well there in those opening hymns. Let us keep it up. This time we'll stand as we sing as the organist leads us, and singing it out with all of our heart. Hymn number 600, standing as we sing. Let's stand as we sing. Well, we just unite our hearts together in prayer. Let us look to the Lord, praying for the Lord's help and blessing and presence among us here this evening. Our gracious God, our loving Father in heaven, we do rejoice afresh tonight in thy goodness and mercy that finds us here in the house of the Lord. We come to thee in the Saviour's great name, the name of him who loved us, who gave himself for us, a ransom for our sins upon the cross. And we rejoice tonight as thy people in the shed blood of the Lamb, that blood that cleanseth us from all sin and that brings us nigh to God. Father, we thank thee for all thy goodness and thy mercies to us, even since we've last met together here in this fashion in thy house. We thank thee for the faithful minister of thy word here and the Lord's day past, and for all who thou didst gather in to hear your word. And Lord, may that word live on and bring forth much fruit in the lives of thy people and in the lives of those who are unconverted, still out of Christ. But Lord, we cannot rest upon past blessings. We need thee afresh tonight, O God. And Father, we pray that thou would bless our coming together here in thy house. Grant us a gracious sense of your presence, O Lord. Father, outpour thy Holy Spirit upon us. Do every heart much good. And Father, we pray in everything that is said and done tonight, we pray that our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, would be honored and glorified. We thank Thee, O God, tonight as Thy people that we can sing of heaven, of that day when we shall be with Christ and with the people of God forevermore. And Father, we thank Thee that that is our hope, that hope that is secure through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. And help us day by day as Thy people to be ever looking for the coming of the Lord, be ever looking forward to heaven and to glory. But until then, Lord, keep us singing, keep us praising, and living for Thee day by day. Remember any that cannot come tonight, Lord, because of age or sickness or infirmity. We pray for the blessing of the Lord to be upon them. For others who have suffered loss in recent times, we pray that they will know the comforting hand of the Lord. And Father, for all the families and household connected with our congregation here, bless each one. And Lord, unite every family circle in the Lord. Remember our land tonight for good and all of its need. We thank Thee, Lord, that in these days in which we live, that God is upon the throne. Lord, You've said in Thy word that the Lord reigneth. And Father, we thank Thee, O God, that none can stay Thy hand or say, what doest Thou, Lord? Remember our land for good, we pray. Father, we pray for the outpouring of the Spirit of God. And Father, we pray for days of revival, days of reformation, and a turning in the hearts of many unto the Lord. Remember Your servants tonight and that mission there in the John Knox Church. We thank Thee for those that Thou hast gathered in nights gone by. And even in these final nights of that mission, bless, open up hearts to the gospel, and be pleased to see if we beseech of Thee. Lord, abide with us now, we pray. Do our hearts much good tonight. Bless us around Your word and around the throne of grace and prayer. For we ask all these things for Jesus' sake and for Thine eternal glory and praise. Amen and amen. We're going to turn tonight, please, in God's word to the book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter number 3. Just continue on with her studies in that book. 1 Thessalonians, chapter 3, verse 1. When you're looking it up, we bid everyone tonight a warm word of welcome in the Savior's name. It's good to see all who have gathered. We pray the Lord will bless you tonight around God's word and around the throne of grace and prayer. Remember the meetings over the weekend. Pray for God's blessing upon them. Youth fellowship on Friday night at 8 p.m. and then the services on the Lord's Day, Sunday school and Bible class, 11 a.m. Morning worship service at 12 noon. We belong in the morning to bring God's word. And then do remember the special family and friends night service in Sunday evening, the Lord's Day evening at 7 p.m. Our brother, Mr. Kyle Boyd from Crossgar, will be with us to testify of God's saving grace and sustaining grace in his life. He suffers with cerebral palsy, but he has proved the Lord in all of his needs. And so do pray for that meeting. We encourage you to make it known. There's wee invite cards there. Do take them and give them out to friends and family. There's many people around your community suffering different trials and sicknesses of one kind or of another. Do invite them especially, encourage them in on the Lord's Day evening that they might be encouraged and helped even as they hear our brother's testimony. Brother John Dean has asked me just to mention there is a Missionary Council news update out there on the table in the porch with our different missionary works across the world. Do take a copy as you leave. And then there's also special projects that the Missionary Council is sponsoring. There's a list of those in different parts of the world. If you'd like to help in any way towards those projects, then there's details there that you can make contact to people. Or if you'd like to talk to our brother John about it as well, then do speak to him and he'll fill you in just in the details. But do remember those just as you leave. Please. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and the verse number 1. Wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone, and sent Timotheus, our brother and minister of God and our fellow laborer, in the gospel of Christ to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith, that no man should be moved by these afflictions, for yourselves know that we were are appointed thereunto. For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass, and ye know. For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you and our labor be in vain. Amen. We'll end our reading there at the verse number 5. The words I want us to base our message around tonight is verse 2 of that chapter, where it says, "And sent Timotheus, our brother and minister of God and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith." Now, before a child can walk and a child can run, that child, first of all, must learn to stand. And the same principle really can be applied to the Christian life also. Before God's people can walk with God and progress in their Christian faith, they must first of all learn to stand for God and for their newfound Christian faith. And this was Paul's burden and Paul's desire for the Thessalonian believers. He wanted to see them strong in their Christian faith and thus go on in the ways of God in their day and generation. And for that particular reason, he sends Timothy to minister among them. And the whole purpose really behind Timothy's ministry among them was to establish these Christians more and more in the ways of God. And we see that really in our text this evening, verse 2 of the chapter, where Paul says, "And sent Timotheus," that's another name just for Timothy, "our brother and minister of God and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith." Now, Paul's sending of Timothy to minister among the Thessalonians highlights a number of important lessons for us as the Lord's people. And it's those lessons I want us just to look at very briefly this evening. First of all, we can say that the ministry of Timothy here really highlights a compassionate concern. It highlights a compassionate concern. Look again at verse 1 and verse 2 of the chapter. Paul says, "Wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone, and send Timotheus, our brother and minister of God and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith." And there you see that Paul's concern for the Thessalonian believers was so great, and that burden for them was so deep within his heart, that while he ministers at Athens, he sends Timothy to minister to them and to minister among them. Now, though he was separated from these believers by distance, Paul had a real concern for them, a compassion for the and a burden for the spiritual well-being of these Christians, and thus he does not forget about them. And as the saying goes, out of sight, out of mind, that could not be said of Paul at this occasion. He does not forget about them. Thus he sends Timothy to them to confirm them and strengthen them in their faith. And my, this was certainly the case throughout the entire life and ministry of the Apostle Paul. He always maintained a compassionate concern for the good of God's people, wherever they were to be found. And my, that burden was so great, and that burden was so intense, that he himself sacrificed much for the good of God's people. Speaking to the Corinthians, he said, "I will very gladly spend and be spent for you." He spent himself for their spiritual good. Again, speaking to the church at Corinth, he mentioned to them how he had a daily burden, he says, for the care of all the churches that he had touched and that was under his ministry. He did ever that continual burden and concern for their good and for their well-being. And people of God, may we also follow here in this matter in the steps of the Apostle Paul. May we be like Paul. Yes, as believers, God wants us all to ever have that compassionate concern for the church of Christ, for the body of Christ, for the good of God's people. No, we're not saved, as it were, to be an island living only for ourselves. Rather, when we're saved, we are part of God's family. And by the good of God's family
must always be one of the chief concerns of our hearts and lives as the people of God. Now, speaking of the Lord's church in the Old Testament, the psalmist said these words. He said, "If I forget thee, O Jerusalem, let my hand forget her cunning." In other words, the psalmist had a burden for the good of God's people and the good of God's church in the day and generation in which he lived. Turn with me in your Bible over to 1 John chapter number 3. 1 John chapter number 3. And go down to the verse number 16, turning to the first epistle of John, John chapter 3, and the verse number 16. Look at the words here of John as he writes to God's people. He says, "Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren." In other words, John here is saying to God's people, in light of Calvary and God's love and God, the sacrifice of his son and the demonstration of his love and that sacrifice, this verse really speaks to us of how even we as Christians are to be prepared to make sacrifices for the good of the Lord's church, the good of the body of Christ, the good of the Lord's people. He says we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. The hymn writer says, "I want, dear Lord, a love that feels for all, a deep, strong love that answers every call. And my constantly, indeed continually, in our Christian life, yes, we should pray that our compassion, concern, and burden for the Lord's people and the Lord's church would increase and would abound as God's people more and more." Yes, we see here that the ministry of Timothy, it highlights a compassionate concern. But secondly, notice also in the second place tonight that the ministry here of Timothy also highlights for us a godly testimony. Highlights a godly testimony. And the sending here of Timothy to help the Thessalonians, it shows that Timothy himself, he possessed a godly testimony. And you see that from what Paul says about him in verse 2, our text for this evening. He says, "And sent Timotheus, our brother, and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ." And you see from those words there that Timothy was a man of faith, because Paul describes him as Timotheus, our brother. He was Paul's brother in the faith. And likewise, if we are to be a help to others, we too must be people of faith. Our faith must be firmly anchored in the Lord. And my, we must learn to depend more and more upon the Lord. The Bible speaks to you and I about Stephen, one of the deacons of the early New Testament church, and it describes him as a man full of faith. He was strong in faith. Think again of what the disciples prayed. They prayed, "Lord, increase our faith." And daily, yes, as believers, we too should pray that the Lord would increase and the Lord would strengthen our faith as the people of God. Timothy was a man of faith. Something else here to note, we can say that Timothy was a man who served. In verse 2 of the chapter, notice how he's described. Paul describes him as Timotheus, he says, our brother, and then he says these words, "and minister of God." And that word ministry literally means servant. In God's work, Timothy was one who served others. And likewise, if we are to be help to our fellow believers, then we must be ever willing to serve as Christians. We must be ever willing to serve the Lord in whatever way we can. The psalmist says, "Serve the Lord with gladness." And we should serve God gladly and joyfully and willingly with all our heart and with all our soul. Also, we must ever be willing to help and to serve one another as Christians, and to help and to serve our fellow believers in the Lord Jesus Christ and the Church of Christ. Turn over to John's Gospel, chapter 13. John's Gospel, chapter 13. And here you have the example of the Lord Jesus Christ washing the disciples' feet. And it was an example of divine service unto others. John chapter 13 and the verse number 5. It says of the Lord Jesus, "And after that he poureth water into a basin, he began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded." Go down to verse 14 of the same chapter. The Lord says, "If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet." And speaking there about Christian service, he says, "For I have given you an example," notice it, "that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him." Notice it, "If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do." In other words, there's joy in service, joy in serving one another. He says, "As I have done," he says, "ye also ought to do to one another." Now, we're not to go around as it were washing one another's feet, but the lesson here is this: we're to serve one another as Christians in whatever way we can, by whatever opportunity comes our way. That's the lesson there. Timothy was a man of faith. He was a man who served. Notice something else here. We can say Timothy was a man of meekness and humility of heart. For look again at how Paul describes him there in verse 2. He describes him as our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ. And that really shows to us there that Timothy had the ability to work with others. He put his own interests, as it were, to the one side, to second place, as it were, for the good of others and for the good of God's work. And Paul here describes him, he says, as our fellow laborer in the gospel. He worked alongside Paul and others in the gospel, in the work of God, and in the early New Testament church. You think tonight of a football team. No matter what that team is, if that team is to be successful, it may have great talented players in the team and people that are good strikers and can score goals, whatever. But if they are to be successful, they must play together as a team, as one on the pitch. And again, it's the same in God's work. My, it's vital, yes, as believers, that we're ever learning to work together and to support one another in the work of God and in the cause of Christ, and to work side by side, setting our own interests, as it were, to the one side, and putting the good of others and the good of God's work first and paramount in our life, in our thinking, and in our service for the Lord. Do you remember what the psalmist says in Psalm 133? He says, "Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore." Yes, we see here a compassionate concern. We see here a godly testimony. Notice finally here tonight in the ministry of Timothy among the Thessalonian believers, and also highlights to us a spiritual conflict. For in verse 2 here, you'll see that Paul tells how he sent Timothy to establish the Thessalonian Christians. He says, "And sent Timotheus, our brother and minister and fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you." Why did they need establishment? The reason for this establishment was because they, as Christians, were in the midst of a spiritual conflict, a spiritual warfare, a spiritual battle. Look at verse number 3. Notice what it says here, that no man should be moved by these afflictions. "For yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto." Notice the mention there of afflictions. It's plural, not just one, but many. These Christians, they were suffering afflictions and persecution and trials for their newfound Christian faith. And people of God, this is something we must all realize. As soon as we are saved, we enter into a spiritual warfare. We enter into a spiritual conflict. The Christian life is no bed of roses. For anyone to say that it is void of conflict and void of warfare, they're not giving a true representation of the Christian life. The Bible says in the book of the Acts, it says, we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. If you go down to verse number 5 there of the chapter, you see there that the devil is the architect, as it were, behind this conflict and this warfare. Look at verse 5. Paul says, "For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you, and our labor be in vain." Notice there how Paul mentions the tempter. He's talking there about the Satan, the devil, the evil one, the adversary of all God's people. And his strategy really was to get these believers in Thessalonica to forsake the Lord and to forsake their service for the Lord. Look again at what Paul says to these Christians at the beginning of verse 3. He says that no man should be moved by these afflictions and trials. Satan's strategy was to get these Christians to be moved away from the Lord and their service and their witness for the Lord. Look again at what Paul says at the end of verse number 5. He says, "Lest by some means the tempter have tempted you," notice it, "and our labor be in vain." In other words, Paul's concern was that they would yield to the sway of Satan and they would turn away from following the Lord and turn away from their service for the Lord. Child of God, can I say tonight, it is always the scheme of Satan to do this very thing in the life of God's people, in the life of God's church. Child of God, the devil, yes, he will employ every means possible at his disposal to move you and I as Christians away from the Lord, away from our Christian faith, and away from our service for the Lord. That's his aim, that's his strategy, and it's something that he is relentless and seeking to do as he continually and constantly attacks God's people and the church of Christ. But people, the way for us to be victorious is by faith. Faith in the Lord, faith in the Lord's help, faith in the Lord's power, faith in the Lord's wisdom, faith in the Lord's deliverance, faith in the Lord's grace and the Lord's preservation in our lives in every circumstance of life. Turn over there to Ephesians chapter number 6. Ephesians chapter number 6. And the end of that chapter deals with the Christian armor and the Christian warfare. And look at what you read there, just really summing it all up in verse number 16 of Ephesians chapter 6. Paul says, above all, above and beyond everything else, he says, taking up the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench, notice it, all the fiery darts of the wicked. That means the wicked one, the fiery darts of the evil one himself. Taking up the shield of faith. Child of God, as you go through this world, as you seek to live for Christ and battle for the Lord and all the different circumstances of life, believer, cleave to the Lord. Depend upon the Lord more and more. Be ever looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, because the Bible declares that faith is the victory that overcometh the world. How were these believers in Thessalonica to be victorious? By faith. By being established in the Lord. By their faith being strengthened. By them depending upon self less and less. And by them depending upon the Lord more and more. And that's God's way for every one of us in this life, that we too might be victorious for the Lord in our day and generation. We'll just maybe turn again to our hymn book before we get down to prayer, to the hymn number 406. 406 in your hymn book, 406 on the page 341. More about Jesus would I know, more of his grace to honor show, more of his saving fullness see, more of his love who died for me. 406 will stand as we sing, and singing it out heartily to the Lord.
Well, we'll just get down to our time of prayer. Encourage as many as possible to take part, men and women, as the Lord leads tonight by His Spirit. Do please remember the services on the Lord's Day. Pray for them, the family service, even on Lord's Day evening, that we might see visitors in under the sound of God's Word. Pray for the adding of new and young families to the church. Remember Children's Day coming up in a few weeks' time as well. Be much in prayer for that. And then our sister Gillian is having a children's mission out at Tresna between the 12th and the 16th of June. So do remember that, please, in your prayers. And of course, the convention later on in the summer. Pray for the sick and the elderly connected with us as well. And many elderly folk no longer able to come to God's house who'd love to be here. No doubt were very faithful in their day. But just pray for them. And remember our missionaries at home and abroad, the brethren there in the mission in John Knox. And then maybe you can remember also our churches in the south of England. There's the work in Tavistock and Bristol, and then the work in London and then in Oulton Broad as well. Whatever else the Lord lays upon your heart, I don't want to tie you to these things, but as the Lord leads and guides in the time that is left right through to about 20 or 25 past nine, we encourage as many as possible to pray and to take part. Well, maybe ask our brother, Mr.